booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. It is Friday Eve. Welcome to the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Hi, Frankie. Good to see you, as always. Okay, what's a fun way to start the day? I am Juliet Huddy and causing trouble wherever I go. Here are some of the big stories making news this morning.
This is the top five at five.
He boldly went where no one has gone before, at least no 90-year-old man or woman, actually, for that matter. William Shatner, who helmed the Starship Enterprise on the cult classic Star Trek, blasting off to space Wednesday, making history as the oldest person ever to do so. The honorary captain and his crew took off just before 9 a.m. and minutes later, they were back on the ground. Shatner was clearly just blown away by the whole experience.
What you have given me is the most profound experience I can imagine. I'm so filled with emotion about what just happened.
Awesome.
That is awesome.
I love it.
President Biden is turning to Walmart and Target to help ease the shipping backlog this holiday season. He says the retail giants and others will expand their hours at two California ports to meet delivery needs. The ports will also be open 24/7 to unload container ships.
And a heartbreaking day for the Petito family. The body of Gabby Petito is being released by the coroner out in Wyoming. Her dad, Joseph, expected to collect her ashes sometime today. Meantime, DNA has been sent to police investigating her murder, and officials say this could likely exclude or include her boyfriend, Brian Laundrie, as a potential killer. Down in Florida, Laundrie's dad, Chris, was seen mowing his lawn, trimming the grass around a makeshift memorial set up by protesters who continue to pepper him with catcalls and questions.
A new study is showing again how the COVID-19 vaccine saves lives. Around 90,000 deaths since June could have been prevented with a shot. That's according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, which looked at how many people were vaccinated amidst the Delta variant.
And what a horrible story out of Norway. A man murders five people with a bow and arrow. Police in Kongsberg, which is about 40 minutes outside of the capital of Oslo, this guy is apparently a local. Several others were injured. Authorities arrested him, who this guy reportedly has a history of mental illness. And those are your top five at five. Coming up this half hour, we have sports with Matt Sapienza. We've got your history hit at 5:20, but first, some more news. We have new surveillance video. This is just maddening to look at, Frank. It's despicable. It shows two people robbing a woman in the Brownsville section of Brooklyn, back on October 6th. It's very disturbing, I have to say. You can see the suspects, a man and a woman, walking up to the victim, and then they just start pummeling her. And then even while she's laying on the ground, she hits a planter. I mean, she's head first into the ground. This female thug, and that's a polite word, continues to kick and punch her. The male suspect grabbing the woman's valuables. And as if that's not enough, the female suspect then stomps on the woman's head for good measure. I mean, this woman was out. She wasn't even writhing around in peace. She was out. The victim was taken to the hospital with, not surprisingly, head trauma. And they're looking for these two, obviously.
The first openly gay player drafted by the NFL is speaking out about the former Las Vegas Raiders head coach. John Gruden resigned Monday after offensive emails surfaced. One was directed at Michael Sam when he was drafted in 2014, and it contained a homophobic slur.
You know, you just mentioned this. You and I, we may be celebrating William Shatner's trip to space, but over in London, there's at least one person who is more than happy to throw a wet blanket on the whole thing. Britain's Prince William, I do love him, but he is slamming the billionaire space race. He says they should put their money into fixing Earth's problems first.
We need some of the world's greatest brains and minds fixed on trying to repair this planet, not trying to find the next place to go and live.
Well, now, he's
the one that lives in Great Britain and is the one that's in good stead with
the
royal family.
Yes, he's the future king after Prince Charles. reaches the throne.
Well, the TSA is alarmed about the growing number of people bringing guns to airports. The chief told CNN it's a huge problem, along with the increases of unruly passengers. So far this year, TSA agents have seized more than 4,500 guns at checkpoints.
Oh, my lordy. That's a lot. I mean, what are people thinking?
I
think they're going to get it through.
No idea.
They forgot about it. How do you forget you have a gun with you? I don't get it. All right. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we are looking at a nicer day today, actually, than we had the last couple of days, although it will be quite a bit warmer, 78 degrees for a high today. The clouds will kind of start out in the morning, but we should have sun by the afternoon. And we will see some clouds tonight. Light winds, 63 degrees for a low. Tomorrow, we're up to 79 degrees, and it looks like we're going to have a mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies leading to some rain on Saturday. It's going to be mostly cloudy early on Saturday, and we have some showers developing later on today. Again, a high of 75. Those showers continue through Saturday night, but by Sunday, we should have a really nice day, and I'm just seeing sun and cool temperatures for next week. So that looks really great. We're looking like it. Mostly sunny skies, I think, pretty much every day with, I don't know, low 60s, mid 60s, not too bad. Currently, the temperature here in New York City is 64 degrees, Frank. And here's what's trending around the nation. President Biden is reportedly planning to allow some Afghan civil servants who worked for the Taliban during the late 90s to roughly 2001 to come here to the U.S., but without having to deal with terror-related entry restrictions. A leaked memo suggesting many did so. They continued to work for the Taliban under duress. And the wife of the Pulse nightclub shooter finally speaking out, Noor Salman, telling Vice the terrorist used to beat and rape her. The 35-year-old admitting that she should have seen red flags before Omar Mateen, her husband, went off and murdered 49 people at the Orlando nightclub. She was charged but later acquitted. And pop legend Cher is suing the ex-wife of her ex, Sonny Bono. The fight apparently over about $1 million in unpaid royalties that Cher says Sonny's fourth wife, Representative Mary Bono, has illegally held onto.
Well, here's what's trending around the world. After sending a record number of military aircraft to harass Taiwan over China's National Day holiday, Beijing has toned down the saber rattling, but tensions remain high, with the rhetoric and reasoning behind the exercises unchanged. And an extreme right party's violent exploitation of anger over Italy's coronavirus restrictions is forcing authorities to wrestle with the country's fascist legacy and fueling fears there could be a replay of last week's mob trying to force their way to parliament. Starting Friday, anyone entering workplaces in Italy must receive at least one COVID vaccine dose, and a lot of people unhappy with that. At least 250 Palestinian prisoners held by Israel have begun a hunger strike to protest their relocation to isolated cells, officials said yesterday. And that's what's trending around the world.
Here's what's trending in entertainment. Keep that mic up for me, please. It's driving me nuts. By the way, Italy, yes. A lot of folks, a lot of my friends over there are really unhappy about having to have these vaccines.
Yeah,
they are very much a country against the vaccines.
10,000 opponents of that decree turned out in Rome's Piazza del Popolo on Saturday to protest.
I know. I'm going to have to sit down with a couple of these folks and have some words with them.
Straighten them out.
Right. Here's what's trending in entertainment. Sunday night's the night. Succession fans. Oh, do you watch the show?
No.
Oh,
I'm told it's very good,
God,
though.
It's amazing. It's so well acted. The HBO smash about a twisted American media mogul and his equally fraught family had its New York City premiere Tuesday in the city. Well, of course, New York City is the city. Season 3 picks up with son Kendall turning on dear old dad. The show already getting rave reviews from critics. If you haven't watched it, I highly suggest ODing on it. ASAP, Frank. Keep a special eye out for the brilliant and totally disturbing boar on the floor scene, my particular fave in season 2.
Tom!
Yes?
Sit on the floor! It's fun.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's a game, boar on the floor.
I feel...
Get down! Boar on the floor!
Boar on the floor. if you watch this, you know what I'm talking about. It was brilliant. So definitely try to watch it. WABC News Time is 5:11.
Thank you, Juliet. We'll hear more from Juliet with the Jet Set Juliet Travel Report at 5:40. Speaking of travel to places like Italy, I'm going to bring you business at 5:38 if you want to know what the stock market did yesterday and what's expected to do today. But first, let me tell you some more of what's happening around the country and around the world. Cher is suing former California Congresswoman and Sonny Bono's widow, Mary Bono, over song royalties. The lawsuit filed yesterday in Los Angeles claims Bono is illegally withholding royalties from the 1960s hits by Sonny and Cher. The songs include I Got You Babe and The Beat Goes On. Court documents say when Sonny and Cher divorced in 1975, they decided to split earnings from songs they recorded together. But in recent years, Mary Bono has allegedly removed Cher's ownership rights. Mary Bono was Sonny's fourth wife and served Palm Springs in a large portion of Central and Eastern Riverside County in Congress from 1988 through 2013. John Deere workers in Iowa and Illinois are officially on strike. United Auto Workers Union members rejected a new labor contract over the weekend, and union leaders couldn't reach an agreement before the midnight deadline. The last Deere worker strike was in 1986. And former University of Michigan football player John Vaughn has been living in a tent outside the home of University President Mark Schlissel since last Friday, and dozens joined his protest last night. Vaughn is among hundreds of former Wolverine athletes who say they were sexually assaulted by late university physician Dr. Robert Anderson, who died in 2008. And for the second time, a federal judge is denying motions from former reality TV star Josh Duggar to dismiss his child pornography case. Judge Timothy Brooks denied four motions yesterday, asking to dismiss the indictment against Duggar ahead of his court date next month. He's out on bond after being arrested earlier this year on charges of possessing child pornography. Duggar appeared on the reality show 19 Kids and Counting until he was accused of sexually assaulting his sisters and a babysitter in 2015. A Mexican official says the U.S. has to invest in Central America if it wants to reduce the migrants arriving at the southern border. Reuters reports Mexican Foreign Minister Marcelo Ebrard made the comments on a radio program while discussing the prospect of Mexico being a barrier to the migration. He said, without the added investment, it's very hard to think that the number of migrants traveling north towards the U.S. will diminish. Reuters added that President Biden recently wrote a letter to the Mexican president saying he's asked Congress for over $860 million more to be allocated for Central America. The White House is rejecting an attempt by former President Trump to invoke executive privilege over documents related to the January 6th Capitol riot. The House committee investigating that day has subpoenaed the documents and several former Trump staffers. In a letter to the National Archives, White House counsel Dana Remus said President Biden did not think that would be in the best interest of the nation. This means the National Archives will be forced to turn over the documents without, you know, in conjunction with this subpoena. 5:15, let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza.
Thanks, Frank. Good morning, everybody. Guess what? Hockey's back. While the fist cups never materialized, the Washington Capitals made a season-opening 5-1 victory against the division rival New York Rangers. It was the memorable Wednesday night for Alex Ovechkin. He scored his 731st and 732nd goals, and Hendrix Lapierre scored his first. Ovechkin scored twice to pass Marcel Dion for sole possession of fifth place on the NHL goals list, putting him in a couple steps closer to Wayne Gretzky's record that had long seemed unbreakable. And Gretzky was even part of LaPierre's goal, talking about his relationship with Ovechkin on national television while the 19-year-old put the puck into the net and went sliding into the boards. LaPierre was all smiles after his parents and grandparents and brother and sister and his girlfriend witnessed his NHL debut as part of a sellout crowd and will always have the great one on the highlight reel of his first career goal. Ovechkin won one game into a new 5-year contract to chase chase the mark, needs 163 goals to pass Gretzky. The hype going in was more about the aftermath of incidents between the teams last season and the changes the Rangers made over the summer to get bigger and tougher. They debuted a new-look lineup featuring gritty forwards Barclay Goodrow and Sammy Blaze, enforcer Ryan Reeves, and big defenseman Patrick Nemeth and Jared Tinordi. But the closest thing to a fight was a pair of roughing penalties in the first period. And that's your sports at 15:45. I'm Matt Tapienza. That's WABC Sports. Right back to you guys.
Thank you very much, Matthew. Well, any of you folks from the Baltics, anybody, period, just you're going to love this history hit. It's coming up next, but especially for us folks from the Baltics.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Before I get into the history hit, I just have to say, you know, getting ready to go on vacation, seeing all the friends, haven't been... It's been a few months. Want to look good, you know?
Yeah, and you do.
You got to get a little zhuzh. Got to get a little zhuzh action going on.
You are zhuzhed.
One of the ways that I do this is by, I was just saying, somebody tweeted something about Vaseline is trending for some reason on Twitter. And I use Vaseline. I mix a little Vaseline in with my face moisturizer. It really helps the skin. But speaking of that, I get a lot of compliments on my skin, and I have to say, it's not just what you use on your skin, it's what you do with your skin while it's there, while it's drooping. If you're interested in maybe giving yourself a little perk, a little zhuzh, I would highly suggest heading over to my girl, Jen, over at Dolce Aesthetics. They have several different locations, Howard Beach, Glendale, Brooklyn, and now Oceanside out there on the island, so it's really convenient. They do Botox, fillers, cellulite reduction, hair laser removal, facials. They do sculpting and body molding. They have contouring, butt lifts. I mean, pretty much everything you've always wanted. The choices are just endless. Just, you know, you have to pick the thing that's right for you. You don't want to go too overboard. You want to make yourself look natural, right? If you're ready to experience prime results, just text the word Dolce to 95000, 95,000 for 10% off of your next treatment. Visit them at DolceAestheticsNewYork.com. That's Dolce, D-O-L-C-E, AestheticsNY.com. And I think it's time to go back in time.
And now, it's Huddy's History Hit.
An incredible discovery in the Baltics, a shipwreck that experts say could be a 200-year-old Royal Navy warship. It was discovered on a beach in, of all places, Latvia. Some locals actually found it. They saw some exposed beams that had apparently been covered with a thick blanket of sand. But they didn't really realize just how big this find was until the experts arrived on scene. They unearthed more of the 40-foot-long ship, including a section of the hull plated in copper, which was technology first pioneered by the Royal Navy. The ship itself was made of oak, which was the common material used in the British Isles until the mid-1800s. So they think that that's why, you know, it's a Royal Navy ship, which is pretty darn cool, I have to say. And that is your history hit. WABC News Time is 5:21. Some more headlines to get to. Thanksgiving is just, what, a month away? And experts say if you're planning on traveling, particularly if you're planning on flying, expect some challenges. We're going to have higher airfares. We're going to have longer lines, sudden cancellations, that kind of thing. We might have to deal with some of these airlines not having enough people to work. There seems to be a little concern about the vaccine mandates and all sorts of things. So keep in mind, also gas prices will likely shoot up. And as the country deals with supply chain disruptions and as a result, rising inflation, you heard this a little bit before. Frank was talking about it. The Biden administration announcing that it's reached a deal with business leaders and unions to expand shipping hours. Meantime, the White House also announcing it's going to drastically raise benefits for seniors, a move not seen at this level since the 1980s. The Social Security Administration says it's going to give roughly 70 million retirees a nearly 5% bonus, the biggest cost of living adjustment in nearly four decades. And a horrible story out of Kenya. Wow, this is just, man, an Olympic star murdered. Agnes Tirop was found stabbed to death at her home. Now, police are investigating. The 25-year-old represented her country just this last summer at the Tokyo Olympics. She just missed out on bronze in the women's 5,000 meter. And just last month, actually, she set a world record in a German 10K. Tirop is from a town in western Kenya that's known for churning out long-distance runners. It's got high altitude. I mean, this village is pretty incredible. It's actually home to at one point, it was home to 19 winners of the Boston Marathon over a 22-year stretch. I'm having a little.
I hear you. Let me tell you what else is happening news-wise. Actress Diane Keaton praising Justin Bieber after the two worked together on his latest music video for the song Ghost. She told People Bieber was kind to everyone and his team was perfection. The video features Keaton and Bieber's characters navigating grief as they aim to heal from a loss. The Oscar-winning actress noted while she has directed a music video, she's never been in one, she said acting in the video was like playing a part in a movie. She also expressed her excitement over working with Bieber when the video came out. She took to Instagram to say, "Am I dreaming? What an honor it was to work with Justin Bieber." The Supreme Court considering whether to reinstate the death penalty for convicted Boston Marathon bomber Dzhokhar Tsarnaev. The justices heard arguments yesterday. The Federal Appeals Court in Boston overturned the sentence last year, citing procedural errors made by the trial judge. A decision from the Supreme Court is not expected for several months. And a story that we have been talking about and covering, Katie Couric's book continuing to make news. Katie Couric now admitting she withheld harsh comments in a 2016 interview from Ruth Bader Ginsburg to, quote, protect her. First reported by the Daily Mail, Couric revealed in her memoir, Going There, that Ginsburg said professional athletes kneeling during the national anthem showed contempt for a government that made it possible for their parents and grandparents to live a decent life. Couric said that she was a big RBG fan and that she made the edits because she felt Ginsburg was elderly and probably didn't understand the question.
Ay, ay, ay.
The memoir is set to release on October 26th. A basketball star for the Brooklyn Nets is saying again why he refuses to get a COVID vaccine. Kyrie Irving was benched this week due to New York's mandate, making him only available part-time. He says it's not about being anti-vaccine. He's just uncomfortable with the mandate. And finally, the global hit South Korean series Squid Game is a massive success for Netflix, and the streaming service reportedly picked it up for a relative steal. The show about hard luck cases competing in deadly children's game cost the company $21.4 million.
We've got some Beatles news in a moment, but first, a fire that started Monday is now threatening the ranch once known as Ronald Reagan's Western White House. Hundreds of firefighters are battling the Alisal Fire, which is in Santa Barbara County. Man, they just get hit constantly with fires. And it's getting closer and closer to Rancho del Cielo, which is where the former president played host to various world bigwigs during his time in office. Officials got somewhat of a break the last couple of days, but unfortunately, the winds are expected to kick up again today, and thousands of ranches and homes are being threatened. And finally, a new trailer for the highly anticipated Beatles docuseries dropped yesterday. This is a six-hour event by Peter Jackson. It's going to be shown over 3 days, and it features never-before-seen footage, including intimate recording sessions from 1969. It's also going to be the first time the public will see the group's iconic rooftop performance on Savile Row in its entirety. Beatles Get Back hits Disney Plus at the end of next month. Listen.
The best bit of us, always has been and always will be, is when we're backs against the wall.
All we've got is us. What do you think?
Oh, my God. I was a huge Beatles fan, and I kind of was like, okay, I'm tired of hearing the Beatles.
Yeah.
But you see this, it just gives you chills. They look so young. I mean, this is really when they were at their most iconic, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, well, not most iconic. They're still iconic, obviously. But, yeah, it gives you chills.
That's cool.
Can't wait to see it.
All right. We have the Jet Set Juliet travel report coming up in just a bit. And I will tell you in the Frankly Politics portion of the hour, which president will soon be removed from City Hall.
We've got more news headed your way. We also have Biz Buzz at 5:38. Jet Set Juliet, I'm going to give you the top 10 world's best restaurants, the ones that I picked out that I think are more realistic for many people to go to. But first, let's head over to Deb Valentine for an update on your top stories. Good morning, Deb.
All right. Good morning, Juliet and Frank. Well, making headlines this morning, deadly fire in Taiwan. We'll be hearing more about this today. It's claimed the lives of at least 46 people and injured 41. Well, here in Manhattan, a love triangle has turned deadly. An off-duty NYPD officer was calmly waiting for responding officers after allegedly shooting her intimate partner and another woman inside of her Bensonhurst, Brooklyn home last night. This happened just after 5 p.m. Police say 31-year-old Yvonne Wu allegedly shot and killed 24-year-old Jamie Liang and shot a 23-year-old woman who is expected to recover.
I would describe her as calm and collective and very forthcoming.
And the officer was having an intimate relationship, police say, with the 23-year-old woman who was with the 72nd Precinct. She'd been with the department for about 5.5 years. She was taken into custody and to a hospital. And a former NYPD cop pleaded guilty Tuesday to narcotics distribution in and around New York City and Westchester County. Prosecutors say that John Cicero of Bronxville trafficked large amounts of methamphetamine. That's the date rape drug. He faces 40 years in prison. And sentencing out in Los Angeles today for New York's real estate heir Robert Durst. His murder trial lasted some 2 years. He faces a mandatory term of life in prison for the first-degree murder of his best friend, Susan Berman. New York's Governor Kathy Hochul yesterday said that nearly all women and trans-identified prisoners right now housed at Rikers will be transferred out of that troubled facility. Hochul said inmates will be moved to two state-run facilities. And also a male corrections officer at New Jersey's long-troubled only women's prison under arrest. Officials say senior corrections officer Tyrell Harris McLaughlin charged with sexually assaulting a female inmate and official misconduct. Acting Attorney General Andrew Bruck made that announcement Wednesday. McLaughlin is charged with assaulting that female inmate September 16th at the Edna Mahan Correctional Facility for Women. WABC News Time, 5:31, and back to Juliet and Frank.
Entertaining and informative, it's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Juliet Huddy. Frank joins me momentarily. The WABC News Time is 5:32. Coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update, I'm going to give you the top places that are the world's best restaurants, the ones that I picked out of the top list, because some of them are a little bit obscure, probably places that most of our listeners are not going to go. But the ones that I picked, I think, are reasonable for you to show up to visit. What is happening in Frankly Politics this morning?
Well, there is one former president that is going to, in all likelihood, see his statue removed from City Hall. I'll tell you who and why.
And that is coming up at 5:50, but first time for your top five at 5:30. He boldly went where no one has gone before, at least no 90-year-old man or woman. William Shatner, who helmed the Starship Enterprise on the cult classic Star Trek, blasting off to space Wednesday, making history as the oldest person ever to do so. The honorary captain and his crew took off just before 9 a.m., and minutes later, they were back on the ground. Shatner clearly thrilled and thanking Jeff Bezos.
What you have given me is the most profound experience I can imagine. I'm so filled with emotion about what just happened.
And the president, Joe Biden, is turning to Walmart and Target to help ease the shipping backlog this holiday season. He says the retail giants and others will expand their hours at two California ports to meet delivery needs. The ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach are among the busiest in the country. They'll now be open 24/7 to unload an estimated 500,000 containers waiting on cargo ships offshore.
A heartbreaking day for the Petito family of Long Island. The body of Gabby Petito is being released by the coroner out in Wyoming. Her father, Joseph, expected to collect her ashes sometime today. Meantime, DNA has been sent to police investigating her murder. Officials say this could likely exclude or include her boyfriend, Brian Laundrie, as a potential killer. Down in Florida, Laundrie's dad, Chris, was seen mowing his lawn, trimming the grass around a makeshift memorial set up by protesters who continue to pepper him with catcalls and questions.
In just hours, an FDA advisory committee will begin a two-day meeting to consider approving more COVID boosters. This time, the focus is on Moderna and Johnson & Johnson's vaccines. A final decision could come by this weekend, leaving it up to the CDC to weigh in.
And a horrible story out of Norway. A man murders five people with a bow and arrow. Police in Kongsberg, which is about 40 minutes outside of the capital of Oslo, say he is a local. Several others were injured. Authorities arrested him. He has reportedly had a history of mental illness. And those are your top five at 5:30.
All right. Well, we have a busy day coming your way. It is 5:35 and it is 64 degrees. And we will get a look at traffic in just 2 minutes with Joe Nolan. But before we get there, let me tell you a little bit about what else is happening in the country and the world. The widow of I'll hold off on that story. In terms of TikTok, which is a global phenomenon which has caused a lot of people to become instant celebrities and in some cases instant video addicts, we are seeing a number of videos being removed for reasons that some people are not happy with. More than 81 million videos removed during the second quarter of this year. TikTok providing those numbers yesterday, not saying why these videos were removed, but some TikTok video creators are saying that these violations are never explained to them. And it's a pretty significant total when you consider that this represents 1% of all uploads.
And just a couple features to get to, an update on the kids of the rich and famous. Let's just start with the Gates clan, shall we? Bill and Melinda Gates' eldest daughter is getting married this weekend, as a matter of fact, here in New York State. Jennifer and Niall Nassar will tie the knot at the bride's 124-acre home in North Salem, New York. Very nice up there. By the way, that was a gift from mom and dad after her graduation from Stanford. Mm. The 25-year-old's future hubby is longtime boyfriend and superstar equestrian, like I said, Niall Nassar. And the daughter of the late Apple icon Steve Jobs is about to become an icon herself. Eve Jobs, has been touted the next It Girl by Tatler magazine, which if you pay attention to the royal family like I do, you know that Tatler is basically the Bible for the socialite world and the royal world. The 23-year-old made her runway debut at Paris's Fashion Week.
Biz Buzz.
The opening bell rings this morning after stocks closed mostly higher yesterday, with investors taking in the release of third quarter earnings reports. Minutes released Wednesday from the Federal Open Market Committee's meeting last month showed the central bank may begin tapering its asset purchase program as soon as next month. Meantime, the September Consumer Price Index jumped by 0.4% from the month prior and 5.4% year over year. Experts expected a month to month increase of 0.3% and year over year of 5.3%. So at the closing bell, the Dow Jones lost half a point, the S&P 500 grew 13 points, and the Nasdaq rose by 105 points. Weekly report on first time claims for unemployment benefits is due this morning. Analysts forecasting 315,000 American workers filling initial claims last week. And then finally, before we get to Jet Set Juliet, we are seeing some interesting situations in terms of heating costs. A new report says Americans should prepare to get hit in the wallet while heating their homes this winter. The U.S. Energy Information Administration says households will spend over 54% more for propane, 43% more for home heating oil, and 30% more for natural gas this winter. Their forecast reflects a surge in energy costs, especially in oil and natural gas. This comes on the heels of already increasing prices nationwide, as consumer prices increased more than 5% in September from a year ago. Juliet?
Thank you very much. WABC News Time is 5:40. It is time for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. Once again, I'm highlighting this week some of the standouts on the world's best restaurants list. Now, this is a list that's compiled by people in the know, aficionados of the food world, culinary world. Today, we're covering the top 10. These are the places that I think are the highlights, and we're going to start with number 10. If you love fresh vegetables, seafoods, and meats cooked in a light way, you're going to salivate when you hear about The Chairman. It's called The Chairman. That's the restaurant. It's in Hong Kong. You'll be taken through 2,000 years of Cantonese culinary history with everything sourced from close by, including the nearby seawater
and even the restaurant's private farm. If you're looking for splashy decor, this is not your spot. The chairman is not about chairs and tablecloths. It's really all about the food. Critics say the two-story townhouse is not much to look at from the outside, which is why once you sit down, you'll feel like you've been taken to heaven. It's a very nice little contradiction and a very nice surprise. Next on the list at number 9 is Pujol in Mexican City. Critics say the spirit of Mexico is right in front of you the second your server sets your plate down. It's in a nice neighborhood with lots of trees and a garden setting. It's calming until you take a bite, and that's when the spices and the real Mexican fun kick in. Skipping down a few notches to number 6, it's Fransen in Stockholm, Sweden. The moment you walk in, you're taken, this is really cool, you're taken on a tour, literally. I'm curious to find out a little bit more about how they do this, Frank, but you're walked through the property and they serve you apparently as you go along.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, I want to know how it works. Apparently, it's really, really immersive and really cool. The chef wants you to experience the Nordic vibe, immersing yourself in your surroundings while eating modern takes on local classics. I definitely want to check that out. Next is Disfrutar in Barcelona, Spain. Oh, man. I've watched this place quickly shoot up the world's best list. I think it debuted at 18, if I'm not mistaken, and it has just jumped and jumped and jumped. The decor is a nod to the Mediterranean region. It's simple and it's elegant, but it's not fussy. That's because they want you to focus on the food, which is served in very surprising ways, like with fire and ice and smoke. You know, sometimes that can be cheesy, but apparently when you see something put down in front of you, you expect to taste one thing, but then you end up experiencing a completely different thing. It's super, super creative and very fun and casual. John Fattoruso, are you listening? Finally, the top two. Both are in Denmark. Both are in Copenhagen. And both are apparently out of this world. I mean, hence number 2 and number 1. Number 2, this is the culinary capital of the world, by the way. Copenhagen.
I didn't know that.
No, it's, well, now it is. I mean, because they've got some incredible restaurants. The first one is Geranium. This is, again, coming in at number 2. This is another one of those places where the chef takes the concept of seasonal to a whole new level. And he does it in a way that is so beautiful that you don't want to eat it. It's like, you know, you're defacing a masterpiece. And oddly, this place is right next to Denmark's national soccer stadium. The kitchen windows actually look right onto the pitch. But apparently, I'm told you'll be so focused on the food, you'll be like, pitch? What pitch? And finally, our number one best restaurant in the entire world is, once again, Noma in Copenhagen. This place has been voted best time and time again. I think from like 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and then it took a year off because I guess they remodeled or something like that. But anyway, it's supposed to be absolutely incredible. The chef is one of those guys who makes up-and-coming stars, up-and-coming, you know, culinary ingenues fall at his feet. He literally goes foraging for unexpected ingredients and turns them into, I hate to use this word twice in one segment, but masterpieces. Now, I have to tell you, it may be a bit much for some if you listen to this. I'm pretty sure no amount of prestige could get me to eat reindeer penis, a duck entree, yes. A duck, it gets better. Well, maybe not. A duck entree complete with the brain and heart, claw, feather, and beak. Deer brain or bugs. But apparently that's what everybody says until you try it. This is a place that my husband would freak out about. I would freak out about it, but not in the same way. Mm. I don't know that I would be rating this number one. But apparently that's the whole point, that people are just like, they can't believe how incredible it is. So I don't know. But again, Copenhagen is the hot spot now to travel to and for culinary foodie people.
All right.
Yes. Any of those sound intriguing to you? Or were you just,
well, not the deer penis. And
No,
that one.
No, no penis. Is
I would try that actually, the number 2 Copenhagen restaurant.
Yes. That sounds really nice. Yeah. I know. The one that I'm really looking forward to is the one I told you about yesterday, which is on Lake Garda in Italy. Just
That does sound great.
Just,
The best restaurants worth going to tend to be the closest ones.
Well, you know, when you're traveling with me overseas, when I get you and Rachel and the baby, we're all going to go overseas.
Wonderful. I look forward to that. Hopefully we can bring some of our listeners, too.
Yes.
5:45. Let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza.
Thanks, Frank. Morning, everybody. Guess what? Hockey's back. While the fisticuffs never materialized, the Washington Capitals made a season-opening 5-1 victory against the division rival New York Rangers. It was a memorable Wednesday night for Alex Ovechkin. He scored his 731st and 732nd goals, and Hendrix LaPierre scored his first. Ovechkin scored twice to pass Marcel Dion for his sole possession of fifth place on the NHL goals list, putting him a couple steps closer to Wayne Gretzky's record that had long seemed unbreakable. And Gretzky was even part of LaPierre's goal. Talking about his relationship with Ovechkin on national television while the 19-year-old put the puck into the net and went sliding into the boards. LaPierre was all smiles after his grandparents, parents, his brother, his sister, and his girlfriend witnessed his NHL debut as part of a sellout crowd and will always have the great one on the highlight reel of his first goal. Ovechkin, one game into a new 5-year contract to chase the mark, needs 163 goals to pass Gretzky. The hype going in was more about the aftermath of incidents between those teams last season and the changes that the Rangers made over the summer to get bigger and tougher. They debuted a new-look lineup featuring gritty forwards Barclay Goodrow and Sammy Blaze, and enforcer Ryan Reeves, and big defensemen Patrick Nemeth and Jared Timonordi, and the closest thing to a fight was a pair of roughing penalties in the first period. That's your sports at 15 and 45. I'm Matt Sapienza. You make it a great...
What happened to you? Why did you get all distracted?
I got distracted, I accidentally shut my mic off.
How does one do that when they're literally talking into it? I'm not even going to... I don't know why I asked.
My finger just slipped. I was a little trigger happy.
Oh, boy. I had too much coffee this morning.
Okay. I'm Matt Sapienza, and that's your sports at 15 and 45. Right back to you guys.
It is 5:47 right now. We're a little early on this thing. Can we get to a couple little quick stories?
Absolutely.
I have one story that I wanted to talk about. Elon Musk is now the richest person in the world. Why is this news? Because I guess because not long ago Jeff Bezos was. Apparently these two like to torment each other about, you know, all the places in the world that they're going to go and all the wonderful things that they do. But all it really does is torment us. Let's be honest. Hearing about their money and all the money that we're never going to have. The gap widened apparently last week between these two thanks to the new $100 billion valuation of SpaceX and Musk's Tesla stock. So there you go. 5:48. We have a lot coming up. WABC News Time, like I just said, is 5:48. I've got your weather forecast. Frank is talking politics. Sid is looking beautiful right now. Saw a picture of you. No, you look good. I saw a picture of you, I believe, standing at the gala last night. Oh, you were off to, are you wearing the same clothes? I'm not going to even ask.
Sid, you're a radio guy, right? You know Juliet's on the air. If you're going to talk to her, why not talk into a microphone?
I took his microphone.
So that the audience can also hear what you say.
The audience. You heard it here. All right, and one more thing.
News Talk on 107.1 and 77 WABC. Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you, Eddie. Welcome back, everybody. WABC News Time is 5:49. I'm Juliet Huddy from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. We're looking at a nice day today. It's going to be warm, unseasonably warm today. 78 degrees, sunny, with some clouds. No big deal. 63 tonight. Tomorrow, getting up to 79 degrees. Again, we'll have some clouds. It looks like we'll have more clouds than sun, unfortunately. Friday night, not too bad, 67 degrees. Saturday, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies early, and then showers will develop later on in the day, a high of 75. Those showers continue through Saturday night, but by Sunday, it's looking just beautiful. 64 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Weekend, weekend is a mix, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, looking really good. I hope it stays that way. It is 64 degrees currently in New York City, Frank.
And now, Frankly Politics.
Well, Mayor Bill de Blasio may be out of office in just 3 months, but that's not stopping him from making waves. The New York City mayor is quietly banishing a statue of founding father Thomas Jefferson from City Hall's council chambers, where it has resided for the past 187 years. That's the word, according to the New York Post. The city's Public Design Commission, which is comprised of mayoral appointees, all 11 of them, has listed this on their agenda for Monday, and it's supposed to take place in a not on its consent agenda. So it's going to be a very not a public vote. It's going to be a private vote, and then if they vote to do away with it, it will be shipped off to the New York Historical Society, and its 187-year run in New York will end. Meanwhile, the terms of the loan of this historical society, which was gifted to City Hall by naval officer and Jefferson admirer Uriah Phillips Levy back in 1834, are still being negotiated, but City Councilman Danique Miller, who's been pushing to boot Jefferson, said the loan is indefinite.
Well, so is it possible that it can be brought back
yes.
by, let's say, Eric Adams?
That is absolutely right. And one mayoral candidate, not Eric Adams, is actually going to be holding a press conference at City Hall this morning, indicating that if he's elected, he will do exactly that.
Well, that's good to know. Would that be one Curtis Sliwa?
One Curtis Sliwa, who you may or may not be familiar with.
Yes, I'm quite familiar with Curtis.
So that's what's happening,
frankly. Very good. What else is happening, Sid? What's going on in your life? How was the event last night?
It was a very nice event.
Are you tired?
I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
I have another event tonight.
I know you do, in Freeport.
But it was a beautiful event. They set it up on the actual outfield grass. So they had these like really glow-in-the-dark pink balls.
Oh, nice.
This beautiful pink stage. Pink tables everywhere.
Oh, wow.
And you know how this event works. The breast cancer survivors are the actual models, which is beautiful. Margaret got an award last night. Dolores was there, the whole crew. Heshy Augenbaum, Michael Brincott. It was a lovely, lovely event.
That's fantastic.
It is great. It is great. So I'm beep. We've got a big show coming up today. We've got Dan Crenshaw, the great congressman.
Sure.
He'll be by today. Bill O'Reilly will be by today. And I guess we've got a name now for the Staten Island baseball team. So Eric Scheffler, the president of that ball club, will stop by today as well. So
is the name
going to
be announced this morning?
I believe it is, yes.
Oh, it is. Okay.
I guess. I don't know.
Great. I know there
no
were
one tells me anything.
Three or four finalists.
I know Ferry Hawks was one of them. I think that's going to be the name
Dragon
of the team.
Slayers, I know.
Yeah, I think Ferry Hawks is probably going to win. But we'll find out later on today. So you get Scheffler, O'Reilly, and Crenshaw. Talk about last night's event and all the sports from yesterday. And John Gruden is still a story. Kyrie Irving, Brooklyn Nets, he's still a big story. He actually rambled on for about 20 minutes last night. I mean, barely coherent, but I know what he's trying to say. So we got a big show coming up.
All right, good.
And tomorrow's Friday.
Yeah, and I'm going to Italy next week. Yeah.
Next week, right?
Yeah, now wait. Weren't you supposed to go to London?
I was.
You didn't go.
We didn't go because the universities in London are not allowing on-campus visits.
Ugh.
So we're not going to go. Ava can look online and just do it that way.
All right.
Plus, my son's bar mitzvah is coming up.
Okay. So,
we couldn't make it. Yeah.
All right. Well,
always telling me about you. You came up and, Jen. She's like, that girl always travels to Italy.
Jen from Dolce Aesthetics.
Yes. She's on her way to Italy again. I go, yes, she loves to go to Italy.
Yeah.
She loves it there.
Yeah,
so.
We've got to expand our horizons again. We just hadn't seen our friends in Italy for, you know, during COVID. And usually we go every 4 or 5 months. So.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
Every 4 or 5 months?
We don't have kids.
No, I know.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you should, like, buy a villa there or something.
Oh, 100%. Well, we're going to move there.
Eventually. Oh, you are going to move
there. We are going to move there eventually, 100%.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I love to do the show from over there.
Just like Italy. I was in Bay Ridge last night. That's kind of like Italy. Kind of. At least the old Bay Ridge. Not anymore,
exactly.
Right? Not anymore.
Exactly.
So excited to go. All right. Good talking to you, Sid.
Thank you, Sid. To tune into the Bernie and Sid show, Dan Crenshaw, Bill O'Reilly, and Eric Scheffler, the president of this new Staten Island baseball team, which I'm looking forward to hearing as a baseball fan and a Staten Islander.
I have to tell you, you want to stay healthy. I always like doing these news you can use type things. This is it. So you want to stay healthy, Sid?
Not really.
Forget. Not really. Okay. Well, we'll just get out of here then. Freeze. Freeze yourself in a vat of freezing water. According to Danish researchers, they found that people who swam in cold water outdoors once a week had lower blood pressure, and it also burns more calories.
Huh.
Yeah. And I find that in the winter, I lose weight because I'm like, my body's constantly, you know? You know what? People don't see me doing what I'm doing. I'm kind of crunching my body. I'm like, yeah.
I have a tough time just getting invited to all those Christmas parties where they have all that great food for the month of December. So I definitely don't. But your point's well taken. So you should freeze in cold water.
Apparently, you should freeze yourself in cold water. Do the what is it called? The polar bear plunge.
All right. Well, I'll see
you once a week.
I will see your study and raise you one more.
All right.
New study reporting Americans drank and smoked more, exercised less, and spent more time in front of the television or computer after the pandemic hit. Researchers at UCLA found alcohol consumption increased by 23% and smoking by 9% compared to pre-pandemic levels. Exercise fell by almost a third and screen time jumped by 60%. The study says almost 80% of Americans looked at a screen for more than 4 hours a day during the pandemic.
You know, my husband works for the music company Korg. They do, you know, they've got music equipment and stuff like that. And he said that they did very well. Because people were, I guess, were sitting at home going, all right, well, I guess we got to buy a guitar, buy some amplifiers, and, you know, start working. One more thing. This should make for a real fun Thanksgiving. Jamie Lynn Spears is releasing a memoir just weeks after her big sister, Brittany, accused her family of wrecking her life by not standing up for her while her dad was overseeing her life as conservator. Things I Should Have Said is set to hit bookshelves early next year. Oh, God, that family is just... what a wreck.
They're having a tough time.
Yeah.
And one more thing, Juliet. A 24-year-old woman in Turkey is now the owner of a Guinness World Record, and it's quite a tall tale.
Oh.
Rumuzi Gelgi stands a little over 7 feet tall,
whoa,
making her the tallest living woman in the world. Guinness explained her height is due to a condition called Weaver syndrome, which causes accelerated growth and other abnormalities. Gelgi now makes two record holders for height in the country, as the tallest living man in the world is also from Turkey.
Wow, interesting. Congratulations to Turkey.
To the Turks.
Yeah. They're an interesting people.
They're certainly
my,
a tall
my
people.
Aunt was married to a Turk.
Ah.
Yeah, lived in on the Bosphorus. Hmm. Not anymore. She's here. I can tell you all about my family.
Bernie and Sid show is next. I'll see you tomorrow, Juliet. I look forward to hearing it.